Hey, it's been a while.
No, it's in there.
Hotel's in San Bernardino.
You've got to stop that.
Sorry, I didn't know you had that. But I don't know how it works.
See, that's a great thing.
Putting it to the computer. I did that.
I love it.
So drive down there.
Got your seats.
I'm gonna put my name on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have to do anything?
Great, thank you.
Yeah, funny how these chairs and rooms will match. They should. Well. I don't care.
Welcome to the San Bernardino City Planning Commission regular meeting. Please silence or put on stun your cell phones. Would you please stand for the flag salute? Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, be seated. Ms. Perez, would you call the roll?
Chair Heasley?
Present.
Commissioner Durr?
Here.
Commissioner Machen? Commissioner Lopez?
Here.
Commissioner Ebley?
Here.
Commissioner Gallagher? Commissioner Earp? Here. Commissioner Jones?
Present.
Commissioner Quill? Commissioner Gallagher and Quill are excused. We have quorum.
Thank you. Anyone in the audience wishing to speak must be sworn in and also fill out a request to speak form. Would you administer the oath, please?
Please stand and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you are about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If so, please say I do. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you very much. First is a consent agenda. Consent items are considered routine in nature and may be enacted in one motion. All public and non-public hearings will be opened at one time. Any item may be discussed separately upon a request of a member of the Planning Commission or a member of the public. Does anybody wish to pull any items off of the consent agenda? How about if I ask what the consent agenda is? Do it that way.
Yes, thank you, Chair and Commissioners. There are two items on tonight's consent agenda. The first item is approval of the minutes from the March 15th, 2017 meeting. The second item is an extension of time, 17-02. It's a one-year time extension for a previously approved tentative tract map, 16533, which is the subdivision of a 37.2-acre parcel into 50 separate lots for the development of 48 single-family homes. And staff is recommending approval of both items.
Do I have a motion to approve?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously.
Excuse me, Chair. I do have just been pointed out to me. Commissioner Gallagher, who isn't here, sent an email pointing out that there was actually an error in the minutes. And she went back and she listened to the audio tape. This is regarding Resolution 17-019, which would be page, find out where that is on the report here. It was the who made the motion was recorded incorrectly. And that would be for item 4, conditional use permit 17-02. So we would like to actually make one correction to the minutes. The motion was not made by Commissioner Gallagher. The motion actually was made by Commissioner Jones. So we would like to make that one correction to the minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner. Your motion still stands with the correction? Commissioner? Thank you. And the vote is still affirmative on the motion. Motion carries.
So that would be approving the minutes as amended.
As amended.
Great. Thank you very much.
Public hearing items. The Planning Commission will first hear a report from staff and the public hearing will be open. The applicant will have an opportunity to speak. Next member of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to speak each. Anyone in the audience wishing to speak must be sworn in and fill out a request to speak form. The forms are located on a table near the door. When your name is called, come forward and speak into the microphone. Say and spell your name and give your address for the taped record. After all have spoken, the applicant will be allowed to respond. The public hearing will then be closed and the Planning Commission will begin deliberations and make a decision. All actions except general plan amendments and amendments to the Municipal Development Code are final action unless an appeal is filed and a fee paid within 15 days to the Community Development Department. If you challenge the resultant action of the Planning Commission in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues you or someone else raised at a public hearing described in this agenda or in written correspondence delivered to the Community Development Department at or prior to the public hearing. Item number 3.
Good afternoon. Item number 3, sorry about that. Item number 3 is conditional use permit 17-08 and minor exception 17-02. The proposed project is to allow the development of a three-story motel containing approximately 9,666 square feet, comprised of 66 guest rooms and 2 manager's units, as well as an additional 10% increase in building height structure from 30 feet to 33 feet. The property is going to be located on three vacant parcels containing approximately 1.45 acres on the south side of East Highland Avenue, approximately 220 feet east of Norvalaria Drive within the commercial general zone. This is a location map of where the property lies. As you can see on the south side and southwest side, that's the city of Highland border as well as the east side. This is an aerial view of the project location. The Motel 6 is an established economy lodging chain for families and other budget minded travelers. The design of the motel is going to be a hotel concept in which there's going to be an internal center corridor to locate the access to the guest rooms. So no guests will be able to access the rooms from the exterior of the building. Everything is going to be through the interior, where they would have to check in through the lobby area. They will provide additional services, including a guest courtesy lounge, where they're going to have vending machines, a guest laundry room on the second floor, housekeeping, a 505-square-foot fitness room on the first floor, and they're going to have a designated on-site and day and night shift manager located on the second as well as the third floor. The operating hours for the motel is going to be 7 days per week, 24 hours per day, and they will be able to accommodate approximately 209 guests. In terms of the minor exception, they are requesting a 10% increase to the building height. Currently, the land use designation permits a structure to be 30 feet at two stories. They're proposing a structure height at 30 feet at three stories. However, we do want to point that a structure height, 30 feet at two stories or 30 feet at three stories, will be unchanged because the height will still be 30 feet, whether it be two stories or three stories. Therefore, they're asking for that 10% increase to be granted on that structure height, which would allow the building to be increased by 3 feet. The reasoning for that is that currently the topographical area, there's a 12-foot fall from the street grade to the south end of the property, causing the site to be lower than the street grade. So if you are at street grade level and you look right at the property, there is a 12-foot drop. So essentially, when the building is built, you're still going to look at the building and it's not going to look higher than the 33. It's not going to look at 30 feet. 33 feet, it's going to look at the 30 feet. This is currently the existing site looking south on Highland. This is looking north on East Highland Avenue at the properties, commercial businesses. This is a mini storage facility. This is looking east on East Highland. There are abutting right next to the flood control channel. Right next to that flood control channel, there's actually another storage facility as well located there. This is looking west on East Highland Avenue. There is an abandoned bar, I believe, there next to it, as well as a liquor store and a auto lube and repairs facility. This is the existing site plan for the proposed motel. Their other accessibility is going to be on Highland Avenue. They're not going to be accessing the motel through any other streets. These are the proposed elevations for the motel. They are going to have an architecturally steel tower where that is also going to serve as a sign for the motel. This is the proposed floor plan. This is the first and the second floor. This is the third floor. This is the proposed landscaping. We are requesting, there is some residential abutting on this side. There's some residential, so we are proposing, recommending for a 10-foot buffer. So they're going to have a 10-foot buffer as well as a block wall. And then there's some residential on this side, so they're also going to be putting a 10-foot landscaping buffer with a block wall along that side. Our recommendation is for the Planning Commission to adopt Resolution 2017-018, adopting the categorical exemption and approving conditional use permit 17-08 and minor exception 17-02 based on the findings of fact and subject to the recommended conditions of approval. I also would like to, if I may, provide you with some information that was provided to us by the City of Highland in regards to additional conditions of approval that they're recommending. Currently, right now, the property is located right there at this. So there is a little small community neighborhood on the south side of where the proposed motel is, where the proposed motel is planning to go into. One of the concerns that the City of Highland indicated was regarding this little access through here. So they are proposing the following. For that, they would like for the 21st and Linwood curb to include a curb and a gutter in a radius fashion that connects the two existing curbs versus a knuckle design, which is what the applicant is already proposing to do at that entrance, at that little connection. Additionally, what they're also wanting to propose as a condition would be to have a curb, that the curb shall have grouted river rock as approved by the City of Highland City Engineer on the when they complete the curb area. Additionally, they are proposing that the block wall, the applicant, the developer, shall obtain the necessary right-of-way permits from the City of Highland, which they are aware that they need to go to the City of Highland to approve, to obtain any permits for any right-of-way work that they're going to be doing in the City of Highland. They're also wanting to propose a condition for a coating, anti-graffiti coating on the block wall that's going to be facing the residential properties. One of the residents did bring up the concern in regards to traffic when they're coming down Highland going into the casino. Sometimes they believe that they can go through Valeria and then cross to not have to go through the traffic on City of Highland. So one thing that they were wanting to propose as a condition would be to put a, for the developer to put a no turn in onto the property. Not a through street. Sorry, not a through street on the property. However, we are working with the Public Works Department separately on this matter, since this is not a nexus to what is being proposed in terms of the development. There is currently, there's a little power pole line here, power pole, and there is a not a through street sign on the City of Highland side. However, I do believe they're wanting to have something on right at the intersection so that way the cars don't go in through the community. As I mentioned before, that is not related to the existing project, but we are going to be working with our Public Works Department and trying to get a sign out at that intersection that says not a through street. With that, I live for any questions or from the applicant.
Back to the slide that shows the articulation. The facade says artist rendering, architect rendering of the facades of the building. Kind of looks like just a big square block to me.
There is
articulation in the structure on the facade or anything else. It's a large block set down in the middle of the community.
The developer is, there is some design in terms of architectural design, but I can definitely have the applicant come up and answer any questions in regards to the architectural design of the motel.
Okay, at this time I'd like to invite the applicant to come up. Thank you. Please state your name, spell it, and your address for the tape record.
My name is Mark Galizia. My address is 13886 Pheasant Knoll Lane, Moreno Valley, California, 92553. I'm the designer working on this project and the project manager.
Yeah, you know what I'm referring to on the appearance of the structure being just a square block.
I understand that concern. There are some liberties that I can do to jazz it up. There is a cantilevered cantilevered roof on the first floor covering the entryway, too. It's a little hard to see from the front perspective. But this particular design comes from the franchise themselves. I'm allowed certain modifications, but to some extent, I have to meet their approval, too, as if they want to issue the franchise license for it. Obviously, any additional considerations or requests that you make, I wouldn't say no to, just other than I have to go through those channels too. If they deem it insufficient to their design and their criteria, that could cause problems for the project as a whole.
Yeah, my concerns are mostly as the frontage, as it fronts on Highland itself, the appearance from there. I'd like to see something in the articulation of the parapet wall to define it from being just a rectangular block.
The frontage would be what is labeled as the right elevation. That's what would actually face Highland. The lower middle.
This one.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, this one is the one that's going to be facing Highland.
And that's what I'm referring to. It looks like a little block with a sign stuck on one end.
Yes.
If there could be some articulation in even a step between the darker brown texture and the gray texture on the right half there, as we're viewing it, a step like that in that parapet wall would be break the block into smaller blocks.
The gray area protrudes out, I believe it's about a foot from the facade. And the general facade, the brown area is straight through, and then the gray that you're seeing off to the to my right, that is set back a good 18 feet, I believe it is. There is some, it's that won't be on that particular face. There isn't, it's not just a it's not straight all the way across. There is a lot of movement in those walls.
Okay. The rendering just didn't show it very well.
Yeah, from that perspective, I mean, it's a 2D elevation. It's hard to get a sense of depth from those sometimes.
Okay, thank you. Does any other commissioners have any questions? Commissioner Lopez and Commissioner Machen.
I just have one quickie. What is an anti-gravity coating, or not gravity,
graffiti?
What does it do?
What that does, the coating does, prevents from the graffiti sticking to the wall. So it kind of helps that if graffiti was to be sprayed, it wouldn't be permanently stuck. So it's easier to be removed. So that's what they're wanting to have. So that way, if somebody was to go out there and tag, it would be easily removable and not...
It doesn't normally require sandblasting.
Yes, yes. Thank you. It doesn't regularly...
Less expensive.
And actually, it works effectively for about the first year. Then after that, it kind of dies unless it's maintained. It's a release coating is basically what it is.
It's a what?
A release.
Oh.
It seals the surface of the box to prevent penetration. But again, like any other coating such as that, the state has tried it, numerous different brands of it. And they're great for a while, but then they die. Commissioner Lopez.
I have two concerns. The block wall that you're referring to, is that behind the motel and what's on the other side, houses?
Yes, yes, that's correct. So
How high is that block wall?
It's 6 feet. We're 6 feet minimum.
So there would be someone's residence button up against?
Yes, there's going to, our proposal is to have a buffer so there's not to create a prevention of noise, buffering for the noise. And the project here, so that way there's not a lot of interruption for the neighbors. So the block wall is 6 feet, but then there's going to be a 10-foot landscaping buffer in between the wall and the parking lot, and then you have the building over here. So there is going to be some wall facing the neighbors. That's correct.
Hmm. The other concern is that neighborhood was there before even San Manuel Casino was there. Am I correct? Okay. So I can understand their concerns,
yes,
for the beautification. And that intersection getting close to where people turn off to go to the casino is becoming major. There's a lot of interest in there.
Yes.
I would be for, please go back, and that architecture needs to be a little bit more beautiful as may be suggested, because, and I don't mean this in an offending manner, but
no,
Motel
8
is not looked upon as a high-end type of, you know, and these are people that are going to be going in and out and in and out, as well as all kinds of others.
That particular style of architecture,
I would think
it's unique to itself. I mean, I would categorize it as an acquired taste. I mean, not everyone's a big fan of modern architecture.
What I see is just a rectangle box and then a sign that will say Motel 8. And then once it's done, it can't be changed because that's not going to happen. But you yourself mentioned that you had some maybe leeway to take it back and consider, I don't know, some frontage or landscaping or something. But that's a big one. In fact, we're even being asked to make it a little bit higher than what normally.
That's
going to be a big thing.
Are you talking about addressing what would face Highland directly or the overall?
I'm talking about, I guess, maybe the front part that faces the street, Highland, as people approach that intersection or turning into Valeria, because it's going to be east of that street,
yes,
right? Leading up to the
yes,
street.
Yes, it's going to be, yeah, Valeria is, let me go back to the site plan. So Valeria is down here. So as they're driving up Highland, there is some architectural break here at the frontage of the property. So when people pull up, they are going to see this little architectural break there.
I don't see anything.
Yes.
I'd rather see something more of a photo of what
yes,
it's supposed to look rather than what the drawings are. I'm sorry, but I don't see it.
That's understandable, I think.
My concern is because, you know, a resident here is talking about they don't want anything ugly. And
yes.
that's one person. I'm sure that it's a lot of people. And that is an older neighborhood. There used to be people from Norton who lived in those neighborhoods and everything. And if we're wanting to keep that community
right,
improved, or they have to feel comfortable that the value of their housing isn't going down because we're next door to a Motel 8 or, you know, whatever that conjures up to them, I wonder if it is possible. And I'm, like I said, I'm mostly talking about the frontage. And all it looks like to me is just a rectangle box.
Okay. No, thank you for those comments.
If I may, Chair, it might be appropriate if the Commission agrees to, if the Commission is inclined, I should say, to improve the project with a condition added that the applicant and their architect work with me to improve the design. We certainly share your concerns. We don't have, I think the building in a isometric or 3D design looks better than it does in a 2D perspective. It is difficult, I think, to read these plans two-dimensionally. And at the same time, I think there are some improvements that could be made. So if the commission is amenable, we could add a condition that final approval, final design approval, be you know, at the discretion of the community development director. So they would, because we don't have a design review process here in the city. You know, I think I've heard what the commission has said, and it seems as if there are some improvements that they could make. I think it would still be consistent with corporate architecture, and I'm not using that in a disparaging way, but every corporation has their design that they want to follow, whether it's a McDonald's or a Carl's Jr., In-N-Out. They have a very specific design style that all corporations go with. So that might be a way to resolve the commission's concerns or address the commission's concerns.
I would be okay with that. I noticed that the letter also from Lawrence Maness also asked about the proposed, to improve the proposed architecture. So it's important to them, too. We have an opportunity to create a little bit better intersection or that area, and we need to look at all of those, I think.
Yeah, we can certainly do that. And regarding the email that Elizabeth read and you have before you, staff, just to be clear, to follow up with what Elizabeth said, staff would or does believe that the first condition, there is the nexus, there's the link between what is being asked for and the project. Regarding the second condition, that the bypass traffic off of Highland Avenue, I think, is a condition that, or a situation that exists regardless of whether or not this hotel is approved. The city is currently working with the tribe on a number of other improvements. Monday night, if anybody looked at the city council agenda, there was an item at the, I think it was the last item on the agenda, where the city is working with the tribe and requesting through the governor's office that the tribe spend a pretty significant amount of money to make improvements on a number of streets, Highland being one of them. So we do have that dialogue ongoing with the tribe currently, and I think they would be very amenable to doing what's being asked of it in condition two, and it's probably more appropriate that the city do that, working with the tribe as opposed to the hotel developer. We just don't see the link between the traffic issues and the construction of this hotel. In other words, the traffic that's currently on Highland traveling east and turning into that neighborhood, we agree it's unfortunate that it happens, but the construction of this hotel isn't going to exacerbate that condition. That condition exists and will exist. So I think we can get to the same goal without applying the condition to this project.
I'm agreeable, Commissioner Dirk.
I just have a couple of questions. I'm pretending I'm the homeowners there. First of all, the 3-foot exemption or exception, is that to get to the 3 stories?
The minor exception was for the 10% increase for the structure height. So the structure height currently, whether it be at 30 feet, 3 stories, or 30 feet, 2 stories, it still won't change. It still be 30 feet across the board. So the minor exception was for the 10% increase on that height, where it would allow that 3 foot for the parapet.
Okay, so if I'm behind the building, if I'm in the neighborhood, what's the view look like from their angle? I think it's a concern. Is it it's
from
I think we talked about the front of the building from the street, but I think the back, the neighborhood's concerned about the appearance of the building. We need to make sure we do something to make the back look, the rear look as well. And the height is how far can the motel occupants see into the backyards? I don't know, has that been discussed at all? Has anybody mentioned that?
You just did.
Just did.
Yeah,
so I guess the question is, it might something that might motivate the owners to do some more relief on those.
If you want a higher wall, that's fine. You know, you're going to be 25, 26 feet up in the air.
Windows.
Front, when standing at the third floor, so you'll have a clear view into anyone's yard at that point. Because you're only 64 feet to the
right.
Property line, so...
So they're going to be in their backyard looking at the back of this thing. So I think, you know, along with everyone else, that some effort needs to be put in to make it more architecturally appealing, at least, so they feel like they have a nice building there. And if they can see it from their backyard.
I mean, the ends of the building usually house the staircases. I mean, that's actually fairly limiting on what can be done because I have to accommodate a staircase. You can't, other than I could do some plantons or, you know, some reveals into the siding or something like that. I'm not sure how much movement the commission is looking for to be sufficient. Inches or feet?
Right.
A quick point. From my observation of the renderings, the only windows that face to the rear are the ones on the end of the central hallways, correct?
Correct.
Obscured glass.
Yeah,
that protects the privacy of the neighbors that would be behind a motel from casual observation into their property.
I've got no problem with that.
Does that meet your...
Perfect. Yeah, thank you.
There are some residents on the other side, though, I think, to the west, is that right? At the back of the property.
On the east, there are lot 17 on my site plan. That is a residential district, too.
It would be this...
That lot right there.
This lot right here. And a lot of the lot, they're not going to have a lot of the building being faced on that property. It's just going to be the landscaping here and the parking area.
Question? Sure.
Commissioner?
Yeah, the 33 feet height, is that at the front of the property or at the back?
Front.
Okay, and then we're dropping 12 feet more, so are we?
The lot will be graded up. At the back side of the building, the lot drops 35 inches, and then we'll continue to slope towards the south, however much is allotted by it. So it will be importing dirt. There will be, you know, some retaining walls, some... You know, we will be bringing up the pad a little bit for
okay.
that.
What will the height of the building be at the south end?
It would be the height of the building plus 35 inches.
Okay, so it's like 36 feet, essentially.
Approximately. That base at the low end will be veneered with a stone veneer to create some visual offset. I didn't want to have just 3 foot of exposed foundation at that end. And it's also to accommodate the egress ramp that will be at that end.
Okay. Commissioner Jones, you had something?
The signage that was being requested at Valeria Drive was also being mentioned that it was a public works issue as well. Where are they at as far as resolving this issue? And will this be separated as far as from the item here? Because they were addressing the concerns about an increased hazard for the children playing within that residential area and just traffic from the casino as well.
Yeah, so that would be something that's, I don't know currently the status of in terms of what FINO says they've had, but yeah, that's something that's going to be communicated with the Public Works Department in order to try to deter people, vehicles from going into that neighborhood. They currently do have an existing sign that says, not a through street. I do understand by the residents that their concern is, because it's not a really visible sign, if it's on the city of Highland side, right? There's a power pole here, so it's on the power pole. And that is a concern. So what we're going to, what we're doing is trying to work with the Public Works to maybe, there's an existing power pole here, to have them put up a sign so when vehicles come out of Highland, they see the sign that this is not a through street. So that way vehicles don't go in here into the community and cause issues with the existing community that's there.
Perfect. So since we don't know the status where of where Public Works is on implementing that sign, is that something that we would need to address today specifically in regards to this agenda item, or is that...
That would be something that would be separate from the agenda item, as we don't feel that it's a nexus to the proposed development.
Okay.
So it would be something that we're addressing separately.
Perfect. And then also there... you explained earlier that there was a 10-foot buffer in between the perimeter of the property along with a 6-foot wall. With the proposed motel being so close within the proximity of the casino and the type of traffic and the events that that might attract to that area, specifically negatively impacting the residents within that neighborhood, would a 6-foot wall be sufficient enough where the property abuts against residential neighborhoods? Would perhaps 8 or something a little higher than that be more suitable and provide more privacy for the residents by any chance? Or?
I mean, typically, yes, it might provide a lot more, but minimum requirement is for residential. We do typically require a minimum 6-foot block wall for the residential with that 10-foot buffer. In terms of the 10-foot buffer, we do require them to have a little bit more landscaping, and that's actually going to be one of the conditions, is for them to incorporate more trees for screening at the rear of the property on this side, and as well as this residential property, to incorporate more trees, so that way it creates more of a screening for the neighbors, so they're not having to really see the property here, as well as any individuals, vehicles driving through the property, not being able to see onto the neighboring properties there.
On that thought, Elizabeth, we may ask the applicant if as part of the speccing on those potentially impacted areas, that they upscale the, because I have no idea what their size of their plantings are going to be when they put the landscaping in. That would be a way to mitigate the visual invasion of the surrounding neighborhoods by planting larger trees and maintaining them as they grow a little larger, provide a visual screen.
I've got no objection to that.
If the applicant's in agreement, we can definitely move forward in implementing that condition, amending that condition.
Yeah, we could make that a specific condition, that there be minimum 24-inch box trees along the south property line and then the east and west property lines for probably the 200 feet or 150 feet up towards the street, again, recognizing that there is that house to the southwest of the motel.
That would work. Commissioner?
Yeah, I'd agree with Mr. Jones that perhaps a taller wall might be in order, too.
I was going to ask if he... I thought I heard you say you were willing to increase the height of the wall, block wall, that wouldn't be a problem.
It's not a problem for me. In my experience,
I would like to see it get a little bit higher, because a 6-foot wall doesn't hide much.
Especially,
it's very easy to be scaled. If they could change that to 8-foot, it would probably give a lot more.
You got headlights coming in, you get people talking on the other side of the wall.
A bigger buffer to the residents that are closer to that, not to mention, that's a back wall adjacent to a neighborhood and some land. So if it was a little taller, it would be less easy to scale and jump into the parking lot. So if they wouldn't mind considering raising that.
I have no.
From 6 to at least...
We have done that before.
Yeah.
It's not without precedence. So a combination of conditions on there, end of the hallways, obscured glass, an 8-foot wall as described adjacent to the residential properties, and a larger planting size of trees to encourage the vegetation to be a screen as well. Does that meet everybody's needs?
Yeah, I guess I have one question. Is it, I mean, to us, maybe it seems like, to me, it seems like a good idea to do 8-foot wall. You say maybe to the residents it isn't. Is is there a way to poll the residents and see if they want a taller wall?
Well, we have some speaker slips, and I imagine that we'll get to those in a minute.
Okay.
Before we make a decision. We're trying to sort out as much as we can with the applicant right now. Then we'll get to the speakers, and I have in favor and not in favor. So we'll go both. Commissioner Lopez.
As you were talking about amending something, I thought I heard our director say something about working with Highland and the developer in terms of the architecture. Did I hear that you guys were going to talk about?
That is correct, yes.
Feasibility, so that mm-hmm. I would appreciate to be included.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant? Thank you. We may bring you back up.
Thank you, sir.
I've got a couple speaker slips. Looks like Sonia Bates. Welcome, Ms. Bates. Appreciate you taking the time to come down and advise us.
Thank you. It's actually been very gratifying to listen to you talk. I feel like you're putting yourselves in our homes, not just our shoes. And I want to thank, this is Mr. Persico, correct?
Yes.
Thank you for responding to me rapidly this morning.
You're welcome.
Our concerns are that we're stuck between two cities, Caltrans and the county of San Bernardino, and we often are stuck with people punting. So I want to take full advantage tonight because it sounds like you actually care about us. We already have a liquor store and a Lube and Tune at the entrance of our neighborhood that are hideously ugly, and we definitely don't need another concrete block stuck right next to them, right next to an abandoned restaurant that's nothing but a vagrant magnet. And because our neighborhood is right up against the Caltrans property, we also have vagrants and addicts that are using it as a thoroughfare to get to the liquor store. We've really been shafted, and no one's paid attention to us all these years. So it really warms my heart to hear you say that you are putting yourselves right. How does the neighborhood feel about this? Well, I think that I could speak for the ones that are not here this evening, but we've been talking about it, and a higher wall would be most appreciated. My husband is 6'2". He's over here. He wouldn't have a problem seeing over a 6-foot-tall wall, and I'm sure that the neighbors that are right up against it would appreciate the taller wall. I can't quite envision what you mean by a 12-foot buffer. I'm assuming you mean trees. The more trees, the better. For one thing, it's going to be prettier. If you can make it a beautiful building, great. The Ayers Hotel, for instance, that's off the freeway in Redlands, is kind of a pretty little colonial-looking thing. I don't know why we have to have ugly architecture. Have your hotel. The man has a right to develop his property, and it is what it is. But does it have to be ugly? I don't think it does. You know, so that's what we're asking for. Also, the signage. Yes, we do have not a through street sign, but it's already when you're well into the neighborhood. And so people do speed through there. They're frustrated. They think they're going to get out of the traffic. Well, they're wrong. Now they're just going to be sitting there waiting to get back into the traffic they just got out of. We also have tour buses from the casino that use our neighborhood as a turnaround. We have all kinds of trucks using it as a turnaround. Can't we even have signs that say no trucks or no large vehicles? Yes, it's a small neighborhood, but most of the people that live there have been there a very long time. And now we happen to have a population of smaller children also. It's a surprising number considering how small the neighborhood is. I think we've only got 21 houses. It's a fairly well-established. We have a couple of homes that are a little dicey, but most of them are well-established residences. We also have a little bit of concern as I'm sitting here thinking about that block wall because we have problems with homeless camps coming up. So are we just going to give them someplace else that's even more private for them to put up a homeless camp? And if so, maybe we just need to have a better contact with that person that's in the hotel. Maybe we can have somebody that we work alongside as we're your neighbor. Who can we call when we see that there are problems? And we're a reasonable group. We're by no means an angry, demanding group. We just want somebody we can communicate with so that we can have an avenue to resolve any difficulties that do present themselves. And they will, just because of the nature of the place that we live in. really thrilled to hear that the casino is going to put some money into Highland Avenue. It's kind of a no-brainer. We have so many people traveling that street that the more that we showcase our community to those thousands of people that are going there to the soccer complex and up to Patton, why wouldn't we showcase that area of Highland Avenue and make it look as beautiful as possible? It's just, it's free advertising, and San Bernardino and Highland can use all of the good advertising that it can get. We have a really great community, and there's no reason why we can't make it even better. There is no buffer between the liquor store and the Lubin Tune at the moment. Nothing. Those houses that are up against that, they were just left hanging in the wind. So that alley that's between the liquor store and those homes, those three homes, that's a nightmare for those three houses. If there's something that could be done in conjunction with this, I don't believe that it's this person's responsibility necessarily, but somebody could certainly do something to make that alley less accessible. And I would like that to be considered. Certainly it might be peripheral to this, but I thought as long as I've got the microphone, I'd go, please do something about that. So anything else, Lucy?
Ma'am, if you wish to speak, I'm going to ask you to come down and speak so we can get it all on a tape record so we have an actual record of it. Yeah. Ma'am, were you sworn in?
No.
We'll have to have you sworn in.
Please stand and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you are about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If so, please say I do.
Thank you very much. Would you state your name and address and spell your last name for the tape to ask?
Lucy Davis, 6564 Linwood Way, Highland, California.
Thank you. Go ahead with the statement that you were going to make so we can...
My statement is I live at 6564 Linwood Way, and that is right in front of my home. The view from my front door is the back of that 30 or 33 building. I don't have a view anymore. I know he can build whatever he wants on that property. I've been there over 30 years. We are a good neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And putting something like that there that's ugly is going to depreciate the value of our homes. Mm-hmm. Nobody is going to look in the front of my yard and face the street to see that. My property value, I already know, is going to go down because I wouldn't even buy my own house at this point. Yes, he can build that house, that hotel. Three stories of a building. I lose my privacy. Some of my neighbors lose their privacy. We're already dealing with the homeless issue, and a Motel 8 is going to only add. It's right next to a liquor store. Guess what? They can walk right over there, buy their liquor, go back over there. We're unprotected. Our neighborhood is unprotected because nobody knows that we're there. We're harassed by the homeless people. The homeless people go to the liquor stores. They bother the Lubin Tune guy. He's losing his business because nobody wants to sit there and be harassed by the homeless people. Low-income motel is going to go ahead and come in there. I've seen Motel 8s. I've seen Super 6s and all of that in San Bernardino. And I know because I was born and raised here. I was born and raised here, and I've seen it. A Motel 8. The design is ugly. You can't even tell. The windows, the loss of privacy, the loss of our community, our small little community that nobody knows we're at, that adds to our problem in our neighborhood. Our kids are going to have to deal with that problem. So I don't know what you can do with it. Again, I understand it's his property. He can build whatever he wants. But to help us to improve the community that we live in, you got to come up with something different than that.
I'm pretty sure I can speak for all the commission. We sympathize with the situation that new development puts you in, but you're not alone in the world.
Oh,
when new development comes in, sometimes it's not what you expected. And if you've been in your place for a long time, it's difficult to accept change sometimes.
It's not the accepting of the change. It's an ugly building. The design, I'm sorry, is ugly. They have another hotel up by the Taco Joe's restaurant. I've seen the backside of that building. I've seen the ugly wall in the back of that motel there. It's not going to look any different than what you've got right there. That's what I'm going to be looking at a lot of the time. You can't stop the tagging. They've painted over that wall numerous times, and it's still there. They're going to cut through our community, our little residents there, because they're tearing those fences down by the freeway. They're going to see that nice, beautiful cement, 6-foot, 10-foot wall, and they're going to tag it because they've done it to the storage place right across from this new motel. That cement, that those walls are just too tempting.
An enforcement issue.
Our neighborhood look ugly.
Excuse me, but an enforcement issue is not the purview of the Planning Commission. That's code enforcement and law enforcement. We can't do anything about a lack of maintenance or a lack of removal of graffiti as soon as it appears, even though we have that as conditions that when notified.
You speak of lack of maintenance. Do you know what's going to happen at that motel?
No, I do not. The developer and the operator of the motel will have that under their bailiwick. I would suggest that we can't do anything about it at this setting, so I appreciate your comments. I wish there was something that we could do that would alleviate your problems, but there's nothing we can do as far as that because the person who owns the property has the right to do development. It is commercial general.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you on that.
And we're stuck with that.
Highland Avenue, the traffic is horrendous right now. You're going to put 66 rooms there. It's going to add to the traffic on Highland Avenue. On the corner of Victoria, they put a brand new gas station. I'm happy for them. 16 pumps. That's going to add to the traffic right by that corner as well. Okay? I know there's nothing that you can do about it, but it's a cluster of bad planning. And we're that small community stuck behind more bad planning on Highland Avenue.
Well, thank you for your concerns and expressing it. I appreciate you spending the time to come out and speak to us. I wish there was something I could do positively and give you a positive statement. At this time, I can't. I have to see what the rest of the commissioners want to do as far as the vote.
Well, I just want to, again, thank you for putting yourselves in our homes and for making the statements that you have made relative to making it as pretty as possible with as much buffer zone as possible and putting up the signage that is at the entrance of our street. And perhaps, if you can, take care of the problems that we're having with the alley that abuts against those homes on 21st Street so there can be as much safety for our neighborhood as possible. And again, we do understand that there is a right to development, and it is what it is. We're just asking for the very best that you can give us.
That's what our endeavor is to protect our current citizens as much as possible.
We kind of want to just put a face to it. I'm the person that's been sending the emails, so I want to thank you for that.
Thank you very much. I also have a speaker slip from Mark Galizia. That you? You must be in favor. All right, in consideration of what we have, I'm speaking to you, Mr. Galizia. You can sit there. I'm going to talk and you don't have to answer unless you really want to. We have talked about some conditions. We added conditions and changes we're talking about on this. Are you, as the applicant, is this all within the scope of what you are willing to accept as far as the modifications of obscured windows on the back of the building at the hallways, the taller wall, as it abuts the residential property, and the increased size of the vegetation to be planted to provide a quicker screening?
I'd like to address the matter of the wall.
I had failed to take into consideration the fact that the pad itself is going to be elevated another 3 to 4 feet. So there's going to be a good 3 to 4 feet of retaining wall on the residential side, and then plus our 6-foot wall on our side. So on the residential side, that wall already is going to be 9 to 10 feet from that elevate, from the residential side.
Above street level on the residential side?
Correct.
21st Street?
Correct.
That makes it 9 foot altogether already.
And the wall is how close to the actual, to the right-of-way line of the 21st Street?
We would be on the property line unless dictated otherwise.
What I'm looking at is trying to think of a way to possibly address the concern of a lack of maintenance by the operator of the motel after it's built, as far as the walls and graffiti removal, even though we have the...
There are numerous mitigation issues, and we can do ivy. I know that's a little slow going, but that sometimes acts as a decent deterrent once it's established itself. You know, this particular chain... It's a Motel 6. It's not a Motel 8, so they're a little bit of a difference. And the franchise, this is their new prototype. I think only one of these has been built so far. So this is a very new design that they've come out with it, with an entirely different type of interior. It's not the old style, what people think of when they hear the name Motel 6. They're trying to revamp their image, as it were. So it'll be very colorful. It's tailored towards a younger demographic. But there's, in addition to the franchise licensing, they're required to have periodic inspections to maintain that property has to maintain at a certain standard set forth by the franchise.
Thank you. Well, I think a question for Elizabeth. Do we have the condition, I didn't see it, of a revisit by code to ensure compliance with the conditions for the 2 years that we refer to as other commercial properties?
The 6-month review.
Every 6 months for 2 years to
every
make sure
six
that,
months for
that the
years.
Operation is being conducted as per the conditions. We
absolutely. Have. I got no problem.
We can add that condition on there as well. I believe it's we will add that condition.
Okay.
As an amended condition.
It's something to ensure that compliance by the operator of the facility continues to meet the standards that we put in, that somebody from development services come and inspect the property and failure to meet those conditions could result in revocation of your conditional use permit.
Understood.
Do we have all the addendums to the conditions?
If I may, commissioners, what I have are 6 added conditions. Although I guess we should clarify what the wall height is on the commercial side. Is it going to be 6 feet or is it going to be 8 feet? Recognizing that there is a retaining wall and then this wall sits on top.
I think maybe I would. Being still 8 feet, so someone can't jump over. Even though is that
a 9-foot wall, correct?
Well, if it's 8 plus 3, we're looking at 11.
Are you in that retaining wall on the back of the property? You're gaining 3 foot there.
Correct.
So it's a slope.
Yeah, the lot slopes from north to south or left to right. If looking at the plan.
Okay, I'm looking at it just so that right where the striping is on the very back is the wall right.
Correct.
The next 3, I don't know, the little circles, whatever, is that your slope of your retaining wall, or is that the retaining wall vertical, or is it sloped?
If commission has an opinion on it, I'm...
No, I just said, what is it? I don't know. I don't care.
I would imagine it would be just a normal vertical wall. Those are fairly easy, because it's got the garden wall, the 6 foot above it. All the retaining wall, all the rebar and steel would have to be in it, so it usually would be just a vertical wall at that point. The slope walls...
So what's that designating there, that in the drawing? The
At the time
right
that landscaping plan...
That's landscaping.
Okay. Oh, that's 10 foot.
Yeah, that's the 10-foot buffer right there.
I think the higher the wall, the better. So it's...
Yeah, that'd be an 11-foot wall, so 6 plus a 3 is 9. That's adequate.
If the you want to put a restriction on how high it is on the, or minimum height on the residential side, then the surplus could be made up either with wrought iron or do something else to make the wall look more interesting than just a normal wall. But obviously, you know, headlights and those types of things, you want it to be at least 4 feet.
I think you just my thought was to stop people from hopping the wall from the motel side to the residential side. Some of those folks can be pretty athletic, and so the higher the wall, and I know it's something that the residential folks have to look at, but it, I don't know, it's just a thought.
No, we need to come to consensus as to whether we want to have a 6-foot wall on top of that 3-foot retaining wall, and how does it address the other residential property to the west?
Yes, the west, this one.
It is worth noting, too, there will be security cameras on site.
Well, security cameras are great if they're monitored and somebody does something about problems. And that's part of the condition I just talked to, is part of the check that will be done by Development Services to ensure that the functioning of the security cameras and action is taken with law enforcement to correct any criminal activity.
Of course.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, consensus is 6-foot wall, 8-foot wall? Doesn't make any difference to me.
I would say not more than 9-foot solid wall, but if there's something that makes it harder to climb on top, it's not solid. Yeah.
A fence on top of a wall?
We could do, you know, 5-foot on our side and then another 2 feet of decorative wrought iron with spiky finials on it or something.
Lots of options. I'm not going to push my agenda on a particular option. I want somebody make a decision.
6-foot wall.
Solid 6-foot wall? We're staying with a 6-foot wall. And the improvement on the planting side.
Okay, so then if that is the commission's consensus, there would be 5 conditions that would be added, and I just want to have them read into the record. The first is that 24-inch box trees be planted along the entire southerly property line, as well as the east and west property lines for approximately 150 feet off the back of the property. The second condition would be that the final architectural design be reviewed and approved by the community development director. The third added condition is that the hallways use obscure glass in their openings. The fourth condition would be a 6-month review for the initial 24 months, every 6 months for the initial 24 months of operation. And then the fifth added condition would be condition number 1 in the email from Larry Minez that I believe all the commissioners have copies of, and that is the treatment of that wall that faces 21st in Linwood, as well as completing the missing curb and gutter in the city of Highland.
Commissioner,
how far apart would the trees be planted?
They're typically 40 foot on center.
Okay.
Is the typical spacing. They could go down to 30 feet on center. a lot of that is just really up to the design, you know, what the landscape designer, the tree type that they use. But we could specify 24-inch box trees every 30 to 40 foot on center.
Can we go 30?
I would go with 30.
Okay.
We want to screen in as soon as possible.
Certainly.
Okay. Again, that's being done by our Public Works Department in conjunction with the City of Highland. Okay. Am I correct in that, Elizabeth?
And then we're going to be working with our Public Works Department as well.
Yeah, we could actually be in conjunction with the tribe, because it is a city street, and as I mentioned, the tribe will be doing some pretty significant improvements on Highland as well as other streets. So yes, to answer Ms. Bates' question, that is something that this would become a city obligation and not an obligation of the developer.
Of course, we wouldn't deny you the right to go ahead and purchase the signs and pay for them being installed.
Whatever the city wants. I'm not going to hold up a multi-million-dollar project over a sign.
I think our preference is that we just deal with it as part of the overall street project.
All righty. I will entertain a motion. I see people putting their glasses on, so. Commissioner Durr?
Make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution Number 2017-022, adopting the categorical exemption approving conditional use permit 17-08 and minor exemption 1702, and the conditions, the five conditions?
Correct. Five added conditions.
Five added conditions based on the findings of fact and subject to the recommended conditions of approval.
I have a motion. Do I have a second? I have a second. Commissioner, all in favor? Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Abstain.
I'm going to need a show of hands for confirmation. All in favor? One abstain and one nay. Thank you. Item number four.
Item number four is subdivision 16-02 for tentative parcel map 19701 and subdivision 16-03 for tentative tract map 20006, associated with the Rancho Palma specific plan. Again, you're familiar with the location from the Planning Commission meeting in February when we reviewed the specific plan and general plan amendment, as well as the zoning map amendment for the project. Subdivision 16-02, the parcel map, will merge five existing parcels containing approximately 41.6 acres into four parcels that include three planning areas and one open space area. Subdivision 16-03 for the tentative tract map will subdivide the planning areas 1 and 2 as identified in the Rancho Palma specific plan into 120 residential lots with a pocket park, a water detention basin, and a recreational vehicle storage lot. Planning area number 3 it will be designated for a commercial site in connection with the specific plan. The project initially was submitted to the city February 17th of 2016. on February 15th of 2017. The Planning Commission forwarded the final EIR, GPA 16-01, DCA 16-01, and specific plan 16-01 to the Mayor and City Council. On April 3rd of 2017, the Mayor and City Council certified the final EIR and approved the land uses associated with the specific plan and referred the subdivision tentative parcel map and tentative tract map back to Planning Commission for review. This diagram illustrates the tentative parcel map, so you can see the parcels that would be created from the merger of the existing five parcels. This essentially will become planning area number one. The parcel number two will essentially become planning area number two. Parcel number three will be the commercial center. And parcel number four is the portion of area that will be designated to Ronald Reagan Park. Again, this planning area number one, parcel one, planning area number two, parcel two of the parcel map. We've created 120 residential homes. You've got a linear park, pocket park, detention basin, and the recreational vehicle storage lot. The recommendation tonight is that the Planning Commission adopt resolution number 2000. Oh, sorry, before I go to the recommendation, I just wanted to point out that the resolution has been updated. The conditions of approval, the draft that you received last week has been updated. All of the changes to that draft are currently bolded and underlined in the resolution that you were given today. Most of the conditions that were added are land development conditions. There are a few associated with the addition of the Michael Kraft gazebo at the park and the location of that, costs associated with it. We added some conditions for the parcel map as well as some traffic mitigation measures that were contained within the mitigation monitoring and reporting program of the environmental impact report. Those were the major changes that have been added. If you'd like a few minutes to review those before the recommendation, I'll give you a few minutes.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. I have a couple questions.
Yes.
On the revisions on page 16, traffic requirements.
Yes.
TRA-1. We're asking this person to pay its fair share to create a second southbound turn lane at University and Kemble?
Yes.
Okay. That's 3 miles away.
It was based on the results of the traffic study that was prepared for the specific plan.
I'm having the concept just kind of beat me up a little bit. A right turn lane from make sure I'm reading it right. Second southbound turn lane at the intersection of University Parkway and Kendall Drive. 3 miles away. I have no idea where you're going to put another lane unless you take people's property. It's developed on all four corners.
You are correct. But it is a regional improvement.
A regional improvement, okay. I guess.
And the condition specifically references in lieu fees for that.
Well, my confusion was because I've tried to do this other times and have off-site improvement to help traffic flow that was generated, and I was informed previous staff in planning department that we're not allowed to do things like that. So I'm really confused.
We may not be able to do that, but as it was identified in the traffic impact analysis that was prepared and approved, that's we're not creating that condition.
Okay. And the other question I had is the vacating Chestnut Avenue, that would be an extension of the Chestnut Trail, would it not?
I haven't seen the maps for Chestnut Trail, okay. So I'm not sure.
Well, my concern is if we vacate it, what does it become?
It'll become part of the commercial site.
Part of the commercial site.
Yes.
I was thinking it was on the other side of Cable Creek. The north side of Cable Creek.
No. Let me go.
Chestnut Trail is a paper road, or Chestnut Avenue is a paper road?
Chestnut Avenue runs through what will become parcel 3.
Okay, my mistake. I was thinking on the other side of Cable Creek.
Okay.
Anybody else have any questions? Commissioner.
Just looking at page 15 up at the top in the revised areas, the third bullet point says a properly designed water system should be constructed. And then it just says perhaps looping or extending beyond the phase boundaries. It just perhaps seems kind of wishy-washy.
That's a standard land development condition. I can ask them to be less wishy-washy with their conditions.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Commissioner Durr?
On page 4,
Finding
number 4, says that the specific plan proposes a residential density that is marginally higher than the current development code standards for similar neighborhoods. Can we get more explanation of that and how much is marginally? And
That was explained previously when we talked about the specific plan. I don't know if you were present for that meeting, but currently for single-family development, our minimum standard lot size is 7,200 square feet. So this specific plan proposes for the larger lots minimum 7,000 square feet, and the smaller lots a minimum of 5,000 square feet. There is a little bit of flux. Some of them will be a little bit larger than that, but those are the minimum sizes for the two tracks. You're welcome.
Any other questions regarding the additions, corrections, modifications to the...
I guess just as a follow-up to that, you said our normal minimum is 7,500?
7,200 square feet.
Yes. Seems like 5,000 is more than a marginal change. You know, it's, I don't know what percentage is, but it's pretty good.
Well, taken collectively, there will be. I'm trying to find. I think it was roughly about 60 of each prototype. So it's not, you know, the entire tract won't be all 5,000 square feet. And those are really just the smallest of the smaller lots.
And keeping in mind, this is something the community around there has been in favor for, the plan that's being produced and delivered to us. That's another first go around with this one.
Right.
They have actually increased the size of the lots from the original designs based on their community interaction. So.
Anything else?
Yeah, I guess just a philosophical question. I mean, I know we're reworking the design guidelines, but if we've decided that 7,200 is the minimum, why are we going less than that?
Well, I'll attempt to answer that question. They did go through, as the chair pointed out, a process of working with the community. This map is actually consistent with a specific plan that the Planning Commission recommended to the council for approval. The council held a public hearing 2 weeks ago, Chantal?
April
3rd. 3 weeks ago.
Yes, April 3rd.
April 3rd. And the council adopted the final EIR for the project and had the first reading on the ordinance to affect the changes to these lot sizes. So, you know, standards, I don't want to say standards shouldn't be followed, but this project does bring a lot of benefits to the community. They have worked very hard with the community over about a 2.5-year period. We actually would like to see more developers go through this an extensive design process. So while it may not meet the absolute standard, we think there are a lot of benefits. And frankly, it does now meet the standard under the specific plan. The specific plan contemplated these lot sizes. This tract map is 100% consistent with that plan, if that answers your question.
I'm not against this project. I
mean, sure.
We've sat and listened to, and it looks a good project. I was wondering, is our standard too high? If it's okay here.
Well, that's probably a question we should look at, but it's certainly a broader question than this project. Some people may say it's too high. Some people may say it's too low. And I think if this were a map that didn't have the other benefits, didn't have the on-site amenities, wasn't making the improvements that they're making, staff may not have originally recommended it. So I think we looked at it as an entire package. And as a package, this project is one that we completely support. And the neighborhood has embraced it as well.
And something that also contributes, Commissioner Earp, is the fact that I've been here doing this for a couple of years now. There are many of the projects where it goes the other way, and we actually make it harder on the developer. Even though it, our standards say 7,200, we've told them, no, we're not going to accept that. We want a 10-8 lot size. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. The developer says, well, I can't do that. And then somebody else will buy the property, and it'll come back to us. So it's a two-way street, and we make adjustments based on, at least I do, I make judgments based on what the community needs as well as the city as a whole. And I try to do that on every type of project I even support marginally, is the fact that that does it help the citizens more than hurt the citizen? Does it help the city or hurt the city? And that's what I use as my judgment call. This particular project, I fully support. After all the meetings that were done up at the, with the neighborhood up there and discussions, the amount of hours that this this developer has put in to get this project to us in not only an acceptable fashion, but a desirable fashion by the local neighborhoods. And that's, to me, as important as I said here as a commissioner. Anything else? This time I'll entertain a motion.
I'll do it.
Commissioner Durr?
I'd like to make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt resolution number 2017-023, adopting the categorical exemption and approving subdivision 16-02 and subdivision 16-03 based on the findings of fact and subject to recommended conditions of approval.
Second.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop right there. I just discovered that I have a speaker slip that a Robert Hagen. And we need to hear from Mr. Hagen before we make our final decision.
I really have more questions. Robert Hagen, 3473 West Elizabeth, San Bernardino.
I'm just right behind that. I want to reiterate what you had said. These guys did a great job of communicating with our neighborhood, and I'm basically here to ask some questions that probably didn't come up with. I know as our neighbor, what our main concern is, which I didn't hear, and it might be in that, is the street improvements with Little League Drive, because that's like a horse trail right now. And our main concern is the Saturday deal with the soccer fields, the month of August with the, are we getting sidewalks there? Are we widening that?
The street is not slated to be widened, but there will be sidewalks. The turning radiuses will be flattened out a little bit, so they'll be a little less dangerous than what they are currently. And the streets themselves will be improved.
Okay, because there is a real concern with the walking on Saturdays. A lot of them, okay, you're familiar with it, a lot of the walking down to use the Burger King and, you know, to, which is wonderful because we want to do that. The other question I have is Magnolia ever set to be, or with this project, to be extended across the creek?
As I understand it from our Public Works Department, it is not in the current five-year CIP. So for now, it will be developed as a cul-de-sac, and then later on, if the city deems that it's necessary, then that will happen at that time.
Okay. I've been hearing rumors, and we don't know for sure if this is this. I've heard it's going to be gated, but is this going to be a senior housing?
No, it will not.
Not
be
going to be.
Senior. No, it's a market.
Yeah. Well, again, that would my concern. Again, would be the traffic, because there would be no busing. Everybody's going to school. There's no easy way to get to school from that location off of Little League. They're going to have to go around, either over to Palm, and that deal about the university on-ramp, as badly as we need some improvement on the Palm and Kendall, that sounds a little strange to me. Okay, the... RV storage, my question is, will that be, will there be vegetation walls or something to hide that? Because it is kind of on the backside of the park.
There will be some landscaping. You won't just have a view of you know, several trailers.
Well, is there a wall or a fence or?
There is a wall.
High? How high?
6 feet.
Okay. Again, I want to thank these guys have been absolutely great. I know they've been working with the Vertimont Association from the very beginning. I totally agree. I wish that we had more and more input. I think you can see that because there's no one here. Everyone's very happy, I think, with them. Again, our concern, and we're so delighted to have some commercial property, even though they don't want to tell us any idea. We just, you know, we're hoping for something. You know, we're begging at that end of town for to keep us from going to Fontana because we haven't, you know, the Kendall Plaza has been such a flop in our eyes, so little. You know, we're begging for a grocery store. We're not going to get it with this site, you know. But
a grocery store is actually proposed on the commercial site. We don't know who just yet, but a grocery
on this site?
On the commercial portion
of this
specific plan, yes, that's correct.
Okay, because we were told before it was too small. But okay, hey, we're all real happy. But we really appreciate. I want to say this is my first time, and I'm a long-term resident. I think I'll just come back. This was very interesting, and I would like to say what the people from the poor people up there with the Motel 6 said. I do appreciate that you guys are looking at the residents' interest when you're making these decisions. This is very heartwarming. So, thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hagan.
Okay.
Quick question.
Yes.
On this they're not going to build the full 40-foot section of Little League in front of their development?
No.
Because right now, if somebody drifts slightly on Little League, I'm sure none of you have been up there to take a look. There's a drop-off about a foot and a half deep, 8 inches wide to a foot wide, for about 50 feet on the inside of that curve, the northwesternmost curve. That is eroded away, and it's been turned into the city.
The streets will be improved, and there will be sidewalk and curb and gutter, so that shouldn't be an issue anymore.
I guess I'm just complaining about something that's not directly planning. It's just we got a tort liability potential out there on that road, and I can't get Public Works to move. Guess I'll have to take it to Mark, the other Mark.
I knew who you meant. this project is the street is consistent with the current streets master plan for that part of town. We have also heard that there's been some discussion about changing those standards, but this is consistent with the current street master plan.
If they're going to build half a street, which is basically what, and with a realignment, I'm trying to figure out the feasibility of doing that.
The street is being improved all the way across the street.
That's my question, which is a 40-foot section.
Yes, actually, you are correct. Yeah, okay. From curb to curb.
See, when you said 40 foot, we all thought you meant half street.
Yeah.
It's 40 foot wide. There'll be a full width of the street in front of the location. It will not go up past Al Gwynn Park and the soccer people, because that's outside the scope of this project. It'll go up to the extension of Magnolia, where the olive trees are. See, I'm up in that area a lot. All right. We've got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passed unanimously. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Flodine, again. Don't want to waste your time, but you're always welcome to come and sit with us. Development code update. Non-public hearing items is where we're at right now.
All right.
Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Chair. So we'll talk a little bit about where we're at. Just to recap a little bit, since we haven't talked about this one too much in the last few months. We all remember we did have several study sessions last summer talking kind of about the bigger issues that we're looking at with the code. At that time, it was primarily the consolidation of the zoning districts and kind of broadening the land use categories to give more flexibility for, you know, combinations of uses and, you know, new things coming in as businesses keep evolving. Those are still issues that we have in there. We haven't changed too much on that because we had most of that section fleshed out back when we met on it. The bigger things that we're still looking at now, and for the sake of this, so I don't spend too much time this evening, I'm just going to go over the big issues that we're looking at. The main things here, and I'll actually refer just into the report, into the general chapters that we're looking at for the new organization of the code. I said, with the zoning districts and the land uses, we've looked at chapters 2 and 3. The next big section is really development standards, the non-conforming uses, and then kind of permitting and processing. As far as development standards going, one of the big things that we're looking at as we try to turn more of our focus back into downtown here and getting structures occupied, getting new businesses to come back in, is the parking issue. We're in a suburban area. We still have, you know, fairly high parking standards, in line with most of the, you know, similar areas around here. And we have an older downtown that was developed when you didn't have those types of standards. So we have new uses coming in now, properties, you know, across the street in here that have no parking on site.
we say no, business can't go in because you need 25 spaces, you know, as an example. What we're looking at doing and what we've started in the department recently is, you know, assessing what we have just in surplus parking downtown, specifically city-owned, and how we can leverage that to say, you know, we already have this, you know, influx of parking, it's not being utilized, and allowing for existing businesses or existing buildings, allowing, you know, the majority of uses, potentially aside from, you know, your large assembly uses and things like that, to be able to go in without necessarily having to provide their own parking. That will open up a lot of availability for, you know, people that'll, you know, that want to come in and start occupying these, but no, they just can't meet, you know, what we have currently. The next big thing that we're looking at, that I think we're all pretty excited about, with the non-conforming uses, we all know, especially a lot over on the west side of town in the older areas, you used to have a lot of, you know, small commercial buildings, little things in neighborhoods, and those are still there. They just haven't been occupied in decades. And every now and then we've actually had inquiry on people wanting to go back in, you know, reestablish a little salon or, you know, something like that that would work with the neighborhood still. And our current code just doesn't allow it. You know, it's pretty black and white. It says it's a residential area. You want to do a commercial use, you can't. So we're working on crafting some provisions to allow us to look at those existing buildings when they're in non-conforming zones and say, okay, here's clearly what the intention was of this building originally. You know, clearly that'll take some interpretation, but you know, that's where we're putting standards in place for, so that we can have, so we can have neighborhood compatible businesses. You know, certainly we all know there's certain things we wouldn't want to allow in the middle of a neighborhood, but ones that will complement there, not have any adverse effects, to reoccupy those spaces. You know, just like with the project we were just looking at with Chantal, you know, you have commercial uses right there, people can walk, it'll, you know, kind of open up and reactivate those areas. And then the last thing, and what I think is going to, you know, it'll definitely have some impact in what we look at here at the commission. Currently, with the way we're processing applications, we have our development permits, we have our use permits. If we do, as an example, when we have, you know, all the drive-throughs that we've looked at over the last couple of years that want to go in and modify their building, they aren't changing the use. We've already approved a drive-through there. They simply want to go in and, you know, redo their facade. With the way the current code is structured, that's a CUP modification. What we're looking to want to do is, you know, kind of split the ideas. So we have, you know, we're entitling a land use, and then we're looking at the actual development of the structure or the property. So if we want to go in and modify just the building, and the use isn't changing, it's getting no more intense, you know, not adding square footage or changing anything as far as the operations go, we could look at it through a different process, you know, through our development review committee and otherwise, to handle those improvements without having to necessarily bring it back through a full round of hearings. That'll also, you know, I said when we, I think, I said that's one of the other ideas about just giving people more flexibility. So if you just want to, you know, if you're just doing a use, you have an existing building, you don't necessarily have to look at, you know, the all of the property development and vice versa. Those are the other.
Can I interrupt?
Yes. No, please. I'll go on if you don't.
One of the thoughts that's been running through my mind is, mm-hmm, driving some of our major thoroughfares, and I think the concern on individual properties just modifying the facade or the decorative elements of their property, we end up with a, I'm going to call it a hodgepodge of different color schemes, and I don't know if that's for sure what we want for our city to look like baseline.
Yeah. No,
It's a mess.
I understand that one. That's a hard line to ride, because you do want, you know, you establish two specific standards, then you end up with just this homogeneous block that
has, you know, nothing of visual interest or anything, if you don't look at it at all, then like you said, you have areas like that where everything's just a completely different color. Nothing, you know, there's no clear intention of what's going on in the street. That is something we'll be looking at. I mean, understanding the concerns, especially from earlier this evening, you know, design is something that we need to be addressing.
Yeah, I think we need to discuss that here with the Planning Commission before we finalize a particular portion of it, such as that. Mm-hmm. It might be more of a conformity by block,
yeah,
rather than each individual building, because I was driving up and down Baseline, 9th Street, Highland Avenue, and on Waterman, or not mm-hmm. Waterman, but on Mount Vernon, and I looked at every single facility has its own style, to say.
Yeah.
And although that can be interesting, it is distracting from the potential beauty of the city.
Yeah. No, I certainly understand. One thing that I think that we're looking at doing, and I actually have it identified as the eighth chapter, just putting together a section in the code that's more specific as far as guidelines. Historically, we haven't always been the best about really pursuing, you know, the best design. So we really do want to double down on that. And I think when we bring forward that section to the commission for review, as we'll start doing in the next couple months here, you know, we can sit down, you know, maybe it's in this forum, maybe we do it as a separate study session as we did last summer. That might work. And we can put together some really good criteria that we're generally looking at. So that when we do have these projects coming in, we're not having to go through, you know, starting at page one every time, every project, and figuring out, well, what do we like, what do we not like. We'll have, you know, good standards that we can, you know, provide to the applicants, and we can build from that so that we can get these better projects coming in.
Okay.
And kind of just to piggyback on what I realized I just said there, so our next process right now, you know, over this last year, kind of building off what we had previously shown you, we've gotten the majority of the text, so to speak, you know, put together for the individual chapters. Right now, we're really heavy into the process of actually coming up with a new format. There's a lot that's being restructured and moved from, you know, one chapter here and there and combining things. We're getting that put together, and then we're planning, starting in June, so two meetings from now, starting to bring forward those sections, you know, be they whole chapters or certain components of one. We want to start that up a lot more like we were doing last year to really start getting the feedback on the specifics of what we're proposing. So that should be the next time you see me up here talking about this one. And that is pretty much it for me. If there are any other questions, I would be happy to elaborate on anything else we're working on.
I'll wait until June.
All right.
And I get to look at it in detail. Makes it easier for me to figure out.
Sounds
we'll have some advanced review time before we actually get.
Yeah, well, like we did. I know, like we did before that last study session we had upstairs. We'll try to get that out more than just the 5 or so days before the meeting. To see, you know, kind of seeing how much content we have, we'll have to figure out what's an appropriate amount of review time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sign code update. We have no sign code update.
Sorry.
Oh.
So, for the sign code update, I just want to go over kind of our progress to date. So, in December, you remember, that we had a study session here. We talked about a lot of different issues regarding signage. Code enforcement and maintenance were obviously really important issues that we wanted to address. Temporary signs, because those can really get out of control sometimes. Relaxing some of the thresholds for Planning Commission review signage. and creative signage. Those were the main points. Of course, there was a lot of other discussion, but that was the main points that we went through. Following that meeting, the consultants from MIG Hogel Ireland and myself conducted a business community signage workshop, very much with the help of Commissioner Quill in putting that together with members of Chamber of Commerce and local businesses. And the discussion there was a little bit different, so we wanted to talk a little bit more about how to make a more user-friendly sign code with them and, you know, how we would do that, what businesses are looking for in terms of signage, if we need to relax some standards or just make the process a little more efficient. Of course, code enforcement and maintenance issues were also discussed, as were temporary signs and the potential for creating creative signage standards in the city. This is kind of a little brainstorming that we did during that meeting. Maybe a little bit difficult to read on the screen here, but I believe that there is a sheet in your in your reports as well. Following those two meetings, the consultants and myself have been going through and making some revisions to the current code. So we have four sections that have been revised: the purpose, applicability, prohibited signs, and definitions have all been revised. And then one new section has been added for design principles, and this is really just to give a little more guidance to people who are wanting to install a sign for their business. I think a lot of the text right now of the sign code is a little more technical, and the design principles kind of open it up and give you a better idea of what you can do within those technical measurements and those sorts of things. So that's basically where we're at right now. We're continuing to work on some other sections. I believe that I should have probably another 3 to 4 sections within the next week or two to review with the rest of the department and make some revisions. And we will see you again soon with another update.
So it looks like you're getting very positive feedback from the sign community,
yes.
Both commercial, otherwise sign builders and installers, and businesses wishing to have signs.
Yes.
Cool. Good response, then.
Yeah.
Makes life complicated but better.
Yeah, it does that. It does that.
Any questions? Commissioner Lopez.
I have a question.
Yes.
Does the committee consider what other cities have in place?
Absolutely, yes. That is a lot of what we do in planning in general is look at what are the surrounding cities doing. Do we like that or do we absolutely hate it? If it's something that seems reasonable, then those are generally standards that we'd like to adopt. And for the most part, our standards are similar to most of the surrounding cities. But we're trying to create something a little bit different, maybe to make us stand out a little bit more, particularly because we do have areas in the city, you know, older commercial corridors like Highland Avenue and Baseline, where the signage has really just gone into disrepair. And, you know, now we have much newer technologies that make signage not as necessary to be as large or we have better structures that we can put them on. So we're just looking to do something a little bit different and try at the same time work with, you know, the existing signage that we have and what we can do to help clean that up.
What is the, according to our city's code enforcement, what is the percentage of signs covering a storefront?
It depends on the zoning designation, but typically you're allowed about 2 square feet of signage per lineal foot of building frontage. So if you have a and then there's caps to that depending on what you know, if it's a single building of a certain size, you know, larger buildings, obviously, we can allow a little bit more signage where a smaller building would be limited to maybe 100 square feet at the most on one side of the building face.
Well, I may have a misunderstanding. I thought, because I recall several years back asking this question, and code enforcement supervisors told me it was 25%. I thought it was 33%.
We don't do percentages, so I don't know where they got that standard.
You showed
exactly
it to me
sure.
in the book under code enforcement. So I am requesting.
Yeah, we don't use percentages generally for building signage.
Because I've heard in other cities, like in Palm Springs, yeah. it's like 15%, and mm-hmm. other cities who don't have the same type of problems that we are having. With
yeah.
the amount of sign coverage on the front of a store window, especially smaller.
Yeah, we're looking to add that. But.
If maybe
oh,
for...
Are you talking
sign.
About window signage?
I'm talking about window signage.
Oh, window signage.
Because
yes.
one of the biggest offenders, as I remember from
yes,
previous
yes.
discussions, was the people who plaster all the front with signs
yes,
of a different
that's correct.
Handmade signs, I guess.
The standard right now is that... window signs are exempt from requiring a permit mm-hmm. if they cover less than 25% or not more than 25% of the window. The problem with that is it's so easy to just go and, you know, take a paint can out to the window or, you know, whatever chalk markers or whatever people are using to put those signs up or, you know, just paste whatever little posters you have. And, you know, maybe they don't understand the standards or, you know, just haven't bothered to check with the city on what the standards are. So we do understand that that's a problem, but yes, we only allow 25% currently.
Okay,
and I think we're staying with that as,
I'm just asking because I want to make sure that that is something that the committee is looking at together
yes.
with the
yes.
staff because it has come up.
We are.
As a major offense that we have a lot of stores like that.
It does. It makes the building look too cluttered, and it creates potential security issues as well for, you know, police or emergency responders that are trying to get to the building. If they can't see in the building to know what's going on, that's definitely a problem. So we're not looking to expand that at all.
Or you might want to reduce it. Okay.
We haven't looked at reducing it, but the problem is not so much that 25% is too much. The problem is that people are doing more than 25% without, you know, inquiring about what is permitted or not. So maybe we need to do a little bit more community outreach to let people know what they can and can't do.
That's the only reason why I asked about looking at other cities in that one item, that
yeah.
one item, because some of them do have less. And I'm just thinking about, you know, you do a drive-through to a community that has a reduced percentage and you don't see as much blight or sites or something. And of course, enforcement has a lot to do with that. So I'm just asking, are we comparing and seeing what results other cities are getting?
Our standards are comparable there, but again, I just want to stress that generally the problem is not people who are complying with that 25% standard. It's the people who are not complying with that that create the visual clutter and the problems in that area. So, and that's, you know, as far as the code enforcement issues, that really just is an internal problem that we have to look at and potentially increasing staff.
I just have one other comment. I'm sure that you have considered this, but many of the problems that I encounter are businesses that put signs on the frontage of their property that are on corners of major intersections, and you can't see it down the street when you're trying to turn into traffic, et cetera. There's a gas station on Mill and I Street that is notorious for that. When you try and make Mill Street gets very busy, and you go to try and make a right-hand turn, to go get on the freeway or something like that, you can't see up the street.
Is that a permanent sign that they have?
No.
Or temporary?
No, these are the ones. These are the ones. These are flags,
okay,
et cetera, plants.
Yeah.
If you haven't considered that, that might want to be part of your ordinances, because in many places I see that around the city and major intersections. These property owners think that they can put signs right up to the edge of the curb, and they put them up, and they block your vision.
Yeah.
It creates a traffic hazard, you know, and there's been many accidents on that corner because
sure,
people are turning into traffic.
So if you haven't
considered that, that would be a good one to put on your slate.
Yeah, I agree. We're definitely looking at creating some better standards where our temporary signs are concerned, because they're confusing at best and maybe just, you know, don't work all that well right now.
And that's really a violation of state law.
A couple of years ago, there was a Chevron station on Highland Avenue, and the freeway there, mm-hmm, the freeway on and off ramps, same thing. The guy plastered flags all over the front of it, but they were all military flags. So he raised the question, hey, this is the military, what are you doing, blah, blah, blah. That he ended up suing, I believe, filing suit against the city, and they dismissed it.
Wow.
And they let him keep his signs up there. They're
yeah,
still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are interesting legal questions, and there's only so much that we can do in terms of, you know, writing everything into the code, but we will definitely look at that issue. So I can look at the window signage as well and see if a decrease in the percentage might help, but we'll look at that.
Yeah, just to conclude on that, I think Chantal is correct that 25% is pretty standard from cities that at least I'm familiar with. It is really more an enforcement issue.
Right.
Because I oversee enforcement, I'm well aware of the problems, and we are, as part of the budget process, trying to address that issue. Commercial code enforcement is something that I think everybody agrees we need more of. The issue for the city manager and the council is balancing that need against every other need, but I think I'm painfully aware of the fact that commercial code enforcement is a huge need. So it's not the percentage, it's the inability to enforce the codes that we have.
Thank you, Ms. Powers.
You're welcome.
And Director. Item number 7, resolution.
This item is the City Council, as the report indicates, changed their meeting dates from Monday nights to Wednesday nights. They will be meeting on the first and third Wednesday. The second reading of that ordinance was just Monday night, and it will go into effect in June. The Planning Commission meets on the third Wednesday, so we are bringing forth a ordinance or resolution, excuse me, to change the regular meeting date. The resolution had recommended the fourth Tuesday, but on further discussion, we realized that that would conflict. It would put it in both the Thanksgiving week and probably the Christmas week, which the community takes holidays, staff takes vacation, commissioners may want to take vacation. So we are therefore suggesting that the regular meeting date be the second Tuesday. With the council meeting first and third Wednesday, we'd like, from a selfish perspective, to not have those occur on the same week. It happens once or twice a year that they would, but we would recommend that the Planning Commission adopt resolution 17-027 and just amend the date from the fourth to the second Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday night.
Any issues? Same time frame?
Yes, the time would not change. The location, which isn't set in the resolution, the location will change as part of the move to City Hall, but we can talk about that at the meeting on May 17th.
I need somebody to make a motion.
Oh. I would like to make a motion to adopt Resolution 17-027.
Second.
And a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried unanimous.
And that is as amended.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
No public here, so no public comments. Planning Commission reports or announcements. Anybody have anything? Nope.
I believe we have art night coming up, don't we?
Yeah. That's
art weekend.
The director
should say art weekend days.
Yeah.
Not nights. Sorry.
Heart night. Art
oh,
night.
Yeah. Lunch trucks tomorrow.
Thought he said heart night, and I went, whoa.
So actually, if I may, Chair.
Certainly.
I think it's time for the director's report. And thank you, Commissioner Ebley, for talking about Art Night. This is going to be a huge event. Last year, for those people who attended the event, we had approximately 3,000 people there. This year, we've expanded the event. I think many of you have heard me say that we will have over 100 entrants. And that's between music, visual arts, and performance art. Valley College will be here, as well as several other dance troupes performing. It starts at 4 o'clock on Friday. It's 4 to 8 Friday, and then 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, using Court Street Square as well as the Carousel Mall. And the weekend actually starts tomorrow with our Third Thursday food truck event. That is every third Thursday for those people who haven't been there, from 11:30 to 1:30. And I didn't mention that we will have food trucks as well on both Friday and Saturday. So bring your friends, bring your family. It should be a great time. And then the last item, two more items that I'd like to talk about. The major projects list, I believe you all received that electronically, but there are also hard copies. And then we have staff is leading, myself and Todd Morris, who is the chief building official. We're doing a workshop to discuss potential city adoption of a ordinance to address unreinforced masonry buildings. Unreinforced masonry buildings are those buildings that were typically built prior to 1933, when the Northridge earthquake happened. Those are buildings that don't have rebar on the interior of the walls, and as happened in 1933 and then in earthquakes more recently, those buildings, the parapet at the top of above the roof line tends to collapse, as well as portions of the building walls. So we will be having a public workshop on May 8th from 4 to 6 o'clock. We'd like to invite all of the commissioners. That will be in the EDA boardroom on the third floor of the 201 building. We have sent individual letters to all of the properties. We've identified 88 buildings in town that are constructed with unreinforced masonry. We sent individual letters to all 88 property owners, and we've also invited, in addition to the Planning Commission, the Historic Preservation Commission, because all of these buildings are potentially historic given just their age. So we'd like to see you there. We have a couple of ideas. I think at the meeting on the 8th, we're really going to be talking about some of those ideas and receiving feedback from the public. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Director. Interesting evening. I move that we adjourn to Wednesday, May 17th, here for our last meeting in this building. Mm-hmm. Do I have a second?
Second.
Do I have an approval? A?
Aye.
Any nays? No nays. Thank you all.
That's how they come to do.
Wow.